Thanks for tuning in to The Rewind, where we dig back in our vault of previous shows. I'm your host, Alan Stein. On today's Rewind episode of the Pure Sweat Basketball Show...
The best way to describe purpose is, what do you do in the games, and then work on that so that you can do it really, really well so that you can help your team win more games.
Maybe I led you to believe it was easy when it wasn't. Maybe I made you think my highlights started at the free throw line and not in the gym.
Turn my headphones up!
Let's eliminate the will to win and think about the will to prepare to win.
That's how winning is done!
It's about being a great teammate. It's about being accountable to one another. It's about being tough. It's about doing the right things for each other, but it's about doing it every day.
Hi, this is Jay Billis of ESPN. You're listening to the Pure Sweat Basketball Show.
Thanks for listening to the show committed to developing coaches and players. I'm your host, Alan Stein. In today's episode, I'm joined by NBA strategic skills coach Drew Hanlon as we discuss how to develop a purposeful off-season skill development program. Drew, what are some of the questions coaches and players should ask themselves at the conclusion of their season to best prepare for the off-season?
You know, the first thing I think that all players and coaches should do is kind of step away from the game. I think so many times the end of the season result kind of clouds what their off-season program looks like. What I mean by that is maybe in a high school basketball coach loses a Final Four game because their team just gets out-rebounded, and so they spend their entire off-season working on rebounding, where they could have been a good rebounding team all season. They just had, you know, one off night. So I think the first thing they should do is kind of step away from the game, give themselves some time to relax, get their bodies right if they're players, get their minds right if they're coaches. And then after that, I've got four golden questions. Number one is, what did I do well, or what did we do well this season if you're a coach? If you're a player, obviously you'd ask these questions to yourself. What did I do poorly this season? What should I have done differently? And then what do I need to improve on this summer? And I think there's obviously a million more questions you could ask, but if you ask those four golden questions, then you kind of list out your strengths, some of the things you did really, really well, some of the things you did poorly, some of the things that you could have done differently, maybe if you should have made more adjustments, what are some of those adjustments so that you can prepare for those next season? And then finally, you know, what do I need to work on and improve this summer, which obviously will give you better results next season.
Gotcha. So what are the specific steps that they should take with the information when they answer those questions?
You know, obviously, after you list out those things, you're going to have a big kind of whiteboard or a big piece of paper with a bunch of ideas. And then after you do that, the next thing you have to do is kind of break each one further down. So, you know, for me, I always prioritize everything. So if you listed, 20 things that you probably could have done better, should have done better, or things that you might want to improve on this summer, I like to next step is kind of prioritize those things. And what you do is when you prioritize them, you basically focus on one thing at a time. So if you're a player and you need to focus on shooting, passing, dribbling, et cetera, obviously you can better yourself in every area of the game. But if you focus on too many things, you're never going to improve on the areas that you really need to work on. And so I'll give you an example. You know, Andrew Wiggins, who a lot of people know that I work with and have worked with for a while, the first summer that I worked with him, he had a lot of things that he had to work on. And we decided to lock in on the mid post and the pinch post. And so while he still needed to add a 3-point shot to his game, while he still needed to tighten his handles, he had never used a ball screen, never used a pin down. We chose to focus on, just mid post and pinch post because that's where we thought he could have success as a rookie. He did. He won Rookie of the Year. So last summer, we decided to focus on basically improving his game from the perimeter so that he could become more versatile because so many teams were throwing double teams at him. So he worked on coming off pin downs, coming off ball screens, and then just catching the ball and making plays off the catch, which was obviously very good. He jumped up to 21 points a game in the second year. Now in his third summer, we're focusing on adding a 3-point shot and then working on finishing at the rim and adding some separation moves so that he can create a shot off the bounce. And while most people would have probably tried to fit all those things in one summer, it would have made him a very decent player at all those skills. Instead, what we do is we focus on one or two areas, lock in that, get really, really, really good, something, get skills that we can hang our hat on. And then from there, we slowly add one skill at a time until we kind of have our little package that we know can be trusted to use in games.
I love that philosophy. I think that's a great way to approach it. Now, question for you. Should a player focus on making a strength even stronger, or should they focus on maybe making a weakness stronger? What would you stand on that?
I think it depends on the player and the age. You know, for NBA guys, everybody talks about developing a skill. So if you're Kyle Korver, he's going to be relied on to knock down shots. So what he needs to spend the majority of his summer on is making shots. If you're, you know, a guy that's a role player in the NBA, then you're going to have to work on that specific role to help improve your team's chances of winning. For younger players, you know, we're talking about players all the way up until sixth grade, you don't want to have any glaring weaknesses. What I always say is work on your threats. And so there's a thing in business called SWOT analysis, which means strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And so you have your strengths, which obviously you always want to get stronger because those are the things you can count on to work in games. You have your weaknesses, which are things that maybe you can't do. You have your opportunities. What are some opportunities you have to expand your game? And then your threats. Threats are things that can keep you off the court. So, you know, if a guy can't play defense, that's just something that your coach might not put you in the game. You know, if you can't do those things, then you need to address your threats before you work on anything. You know, if a guy can't finish with both hands as a guard, if a post player doesn't know how to seal, those are things that can keep you off the floor. So you always work on your threats first. Now, for me, I was a 5'11", you know, perimeter player. One of my weaknesses was post game. I was not good in the post, but that was not a threat for me because that was not my strength. I would never go to the post, so I don't need to work on that weakness. But for me, I needed to work on finishing because I was a great shooter. I was a great creator. But when I got to the rim, if I was heavily contested, I wasn't able to finish as well as I should have. And so that was some areas that I had to work on before I could address anything else. I would personally spend about 75% of my time on strengths and then 25% of my time on things that I can add to my game to kind of make me more versatile, make me more valuable, and allow me to contribute to my team more. But again, I would always address the threats first because you don't want to have something in your game that holds you from playing and contributing to your team's success.
Love that. Love the terminology, especially the concept of threats. That's brilliant. Now, you always preach about purposeful workouts. Can you kind of clarify exactly what that means so everyone knows what purposeful workouts are?
No doubt. I'll give you an example. Brad Beal was my first ever client. I started working him out when I was in high school. He was also a freshman in high school. And what we would do is I would watch all of the NBA games, and I would find Kobe's best moves and LeBron's best moves and Allen Iverson's best moves, etc. And we'd hit the court the next day and we'd work on those. We'd work for 3 hours a day sometimes. And when I talk about going full speed, it was game speed or even above game speed, where there were days where we were passing out. There were days where we couldn't see. I mean, I remember Brad telling me at times, you know, where he was like, I can hear you, but I can't see you because he was literally blacked out. So we were working our butts off. But out of that, looking back, only maybe an hour, hour and a half of it was actually purposeful. And what I mean is we wasted a lot of time doing what I call clown drills, drills that look fancy, that look cool, but are things that won't directly translate to in-game improvement. So, you know, Kobe Bryant is great at what I call a pound pivot, which means you're driving hard, you pound and then do a full wheel out, so basically like a full spin, and then shoot it off your back foot. That looks cool, and it's something that I wasted time on when I was early as a skills coach, and I wasted time on it when I was working on my game as a player as well. But those are things that Brad and I have never done in a game. You know, Brad, I think, has done it 3 times in his NBA career. I don't think I ever did it during my college career. So maybe, you know, we don't spend any time on that. That's just something that might happen natural. What we do need to spend time on is the stuff that we're going to do every game. So for me, I should have spent more time on coming off ball screens, coming off pin downs, being able to drive and make the right decision, whether I finish, whether I throw the lob to my big man, or whether I kick it out to a 3-point shooter. So basically, the best way to describe purpose is, what do you do in the games, and then work on that so that you can do it really, really well so that you can help your team win more games.
I love that. So I would imagine with that, then a coach and player has to have great communication, because I would imagine if a player thinks he needs to be working on one thing, but the coach thinks he needs to be working on another, there's going to be a disconnect, and then I doubt the workouts will be as purposeful as possible. So I assume it's best for coach and player to sit down and kind of outline what would be most purposeful for them to work on.
No question. I think it's important that the coach, the player, and if they have a trainer that's separate from their coach, all three of those people need to be on the same page. It's also a little bit trickier in high school because you might play different roles for your high school team and your AAU team. I'll give you an example. In high school, when I played on my high school team, we had a great team. We won a state championship. I was a ball dominant guard that came off a lot of high ball screens, and then I also did a lot of isolation play. They relied on me to be a bucket getter. Then you know, I had to also prepare for my AAU team. I played on the St. Louis Eagles, who had, you know, I think we had 12 out of 12 guys go Division I, where I was more of a distributor. You know, in my high school game, I would drop 30 on any given night. On my AAU team, I was relied to get, you know, 8 points and 6-7 assists, which is a totally different role because I was more of a distributor, making sure I was getting my team into the right offense, making sure I was setting up plays, making sure I was getting the ball to our big time, you know, high major players that could get a bucket anytime they wanted to at that high level. And then I also had to prepare for Belmont, which was, you know, the college that I attended, which was a strictly motion offense that came off a lot of screens and pin downs. So obviously I had three different things I had to work on, which is hard to balance, but I made sure to communicate with all my coaches, and then I just had to find the appropriate balance. What I like to say is focus on what you need to do now. So during the high school season, I was locked in and focused on what I needed to do now, and then I would sprinkle in here and there some of the stuff that I knew that I needed to prepare for AAU season or prepare for Belmont. And as I got closer to AAU season, I would obviously sprinkle in more and more of the stuff that I needed to be successful in AAU. And then finally, after AAU was done, I was dead set on, you know, helping Belmont make some NCAA tournaments. And so I focused on, you know, preparing for that role. But my thing is, and again, Coach McDermott touched on this the other day, and, you know, in his podcast interview, you have to focus on what's going to do well now. And if you do really well in the role that you are in now, eventually your role is going to expand and you're going to get the role that you want later. I always say, you know, excel in the role that you have now while working towards the role that you want to have later.
Love that. Absolutely pure gold. So obviously we're preaching for folks to do purposeful workouts. So get rid of the clown drills, get rid of the fluff. Aside from that, what are some other common mistakes that you see primarily with youth and high school age kids when they're working out?
You know, I think people see like Steph Curry's ball handling warm-up that he does before the games, and they think that that's how Steph Curry works out year-round. The truth is, Steph Curry does that just to warm his body up, to get all of his movements prepared. And so while some people do ladder drills, while some people do stretching routines, he chooses to do kind of his two-ball routine and stuff like that to warm up. But there's also, if you go on YouTube, and I know Steph well, and I've seen plenty of his workouts, he reps game actions over and over and over again. So I think that that's the first mistake, is people see kind of the fluff because that's what sells, so that's what people put out there, and they don't realize that these guys that they see are actually working on the game actions over and over so that when they get in games, they can be successful in those actions. You know, same thing for me. I know that one of the things that, you know, when any of my guys want me to put out kind of mixtapes of their workouts, they always want to focus on kind of the highlights that make them look really good, kind of, you know, make them look like they're working to become like this all-star player. And the truth is, I'm very fortunate to work with some guys that will be all-stars, that are all-stars. But some of the guys, I mean, they literally are just repping game shots. And I think that's what kids need to take away, is that while it looks cool, instead of focusing on what Steph Curry does in his warm-ups, the two-ball routine, I wish people would try to duplicate his work ethic and his consistency and his purpose, instead of just trying to duplicate the fancy stuff that they see maybe for 2 to 3 minutes before a game that gets highlighted on ESPN.
Absolutely. That makes so much sense. Now, folks, if you're listening to this right now, if you are on Snapchat, you need to follow Drew. It's simply Drew Hanlon, as he's been showing some great purposeful drills. I mean, it's basically an education one snap at a time, as well as some really cool behind the scenes stuff with what he's doing down in Myrtle Beach with the pre-draft guys. So seriously, make sure you're following Drew Hanlon on Snapchat. He's got some phenomenal stuff, and he will show you the purposeful drills he's talking about. In addition to Snapchat, Drew, are there any other resources you'd recommend that players and coaches kind of check out to assist them in putting their program together?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, I think I would add your Snapchat, Alan Stein Jr., to that, because obviously you're addressing a lot of the stuff that coaches need to hear as far as the mental preparation, stuff like that. I think our YouTube channel, one of the things that when Alan and I joined together, one of the big things that we joined was so that we could kind of give more valuable resources on all of our platforms. So our YouTube channel is going to start giving you guys more daily game-like challenges. We're going to highlight some of the game-like workouts. We're going to show you kind of what a purposeful offseason program looks like. And then we're also doing this all-access with the Pure Sweat Basketball Show that's going to give you guys kind of the day-to-day lifestyle of NBA players. And that doesn't mean necessarily off the court. While there will be some of that footage, we're going to show you on the court daily routine so that you guys can see how these guys get better every single year. So obviously YouTube would be a big one. And then I think that our app is by far the best resource if players want to follow a strategic plan that gives them results. One of the best things that we've ever created is we basically pulled together our best stuff and then filtered that out and broken down into, you know, pure point guards need to work on this. True shooting guards need to work on this. Guys that come off ball screens need to work on this. Post players that play in the mid post, this. Big guys that kind of play bully ball, this. And so we've broken down those by player type and given players and coaches an opportunity to see these exact purposeful programs that we would put NBA guys through based on their needs and wants and also based on their position.
Awesome. So, folks, if you're looking for a free resource, make sure you check out our YouTube channel. It's simply youtube.com/puresweat. And if you're ready to make an investment into being the best player or being the best coach you can be, you know, for a very nominal monthly fee, definitely check out the Pure Sweat app, and you can get that at puresweatbasketball.com. Drew, any parting words before we close it up, my friend?
No, I think that's it. You know, I have a golden quote that I've been using for a long time, and I think it's something that I want to leave everybody with, and it's, if your weaknesses at the end of last season are still the weaknesses at the start of next season, then you've wasted your entire summer. So don't waste time doing those clown drills. Focus on the purposeful training that's going to get you in-game results. And if you do that, you're going to have a great summer and you're going to be even better next season.
Awesome stuff, man. I appreciate you taking time out of your very full plate with the NBA training you have. That stuff was pure gold. Well, that's it for me, folks. Thanks so much for listening and being part of our Pure Sweat family. I hope Drew and I helped you raise your game. We'd truly appreciate it if you'd make the time to subscribe to our show on iTunes and leave us a rating and review. All right, it's time to get back in the gym.